ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba ba.
Hello everybody, it's time for the bonus hour. Wendy, are you going to get through this? I'm worried. I know you said that you're having some dental issues. You're going to be okay for the bonus hour?
Yeah. You know, it's fine when I don't think about it. I can't chew on that side.
Oh. Is your food being brought to you pre-chewed while you're having these issues?
Like a baby bird.
Yes. Is a wren just going to perch itself on top of you and just drop the food in your mouth from its own mouth?
You know, that's either really love or really gross.
Yeah,
that a bird chews and kind of regurgitates it into the baby's mouth.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a bottle if I was a baby.
I have to be careful the way I say this. I had a relative who used to do that for at least one of their children.
Wait, pre-chew the
food?
She
would chew some of the food. And as sick as that sounds, you're not seeing it. I witnessed it on more than one occasion.
How old was the kid? Like 18?
No.
I mean like a baby.
Two or three.
So instead of baby food.
Right. She would.
Or using a blender.
Cut the food, chew it for a little bit, take it out, pass it to this other relative, and he or she would then finish it off. But
do they know this now?
Does who know it? The government?
No, the little kid who was three. You're the only one who remembers anything when you were that age.
Yeah.
If someone chewed my food and gave it to me when I was three, it's not like I'd remember that.
But you'd remember seeing somebody else do it because it's indelible. Once you see that, it's hard to shake. Like, because I didn't know it was even a thing. I didn't even know that
it's birds. Not a thing.
It's not a thing, but in the animal world, as we pointed out with birds, they will do it sometimes with their newborns, but I had never even thought that a human would do it. So to see somebody that you are related to do it, that wasn't good.
So what does that person who's now an adult say about this?
Well, now they're sad because now they have to chew all their own food because their mom is no longer around. So they're not happy about it. They got the short end of the stick, the pre-chewed stick.
I kind of have the heebie-jeebies.
I remember seeing it, and then, like, did you ever see something, and as it's happening, you're going, well, my eyes are obviously playing a trick on me because people don't do what I'm seeing them do. And then you have to stare. Like, the second time, you go, nope, that happened. Gooh.
I mean, you share things with your kids, or you take a bite or something.
You can
and
do that, but you don't. I
pre-chew
mean, they,
it?
They would take a couple of solid. I'm done. Here it goes to you now. That's not right. That's not right.
That's not fair either, because if you're taking, like, say, you know, a piece of chicken, you want to make it a little more chewable and digestible for a three-year-old kid.
Yes.
You're the person who does the original chewing gets all the flavor. The
flavor belongs to them.
Then you're just giving, just kind of mush to.
Right. Right. Yeah. I have reasoned it out, and this happened years ago. This happened many years ago, but still all these years later, when I think about it, I know that in my head, I'm like, what are the pros and cons of this situation? And the cons far outweighed the pros.
It was Ro-Con?
No, it wasn't maybe. Maybe. Don't sit next to him at the WGN Christmas party. That's my only... That's my quick warning.
So he learned that, and now he does it with your food?
Yeah, he does it. If you work with him, that's what he does. No, wow. It was not. It was a relative of mine. Is that vague enough? I don't want to get any more specific than that.
If they were listening,
although
right
they
now.
Know the parties involved know that they were involved, because that's something you don't forget. You just go, oh, what was going on in my life at that point?
Pre-chewing your baby's food can boost his or her immune system.
No, you didn't win me over. I know you thought you did, but you did not. I'm sure that there's a benefit or two, but I think in the long run, and we can ask John Duffy this when he comes in.
I don't want to talk about it ever again.
I'll make him sad. Everyone will get sad.
You know who does it? There's a celebrity who is a big proponent of pre-chewing babies' foods.
Alicia Silverstone.
You know.
No, was it Alicia Silverstone? Is it?
How do you know that?
Is it really? Or are you messing with me? Is it really?
I swear to God. You're scaring me.
She seems... If that's true. Is it true?
I'm not lying to you.
I know. I say this with nothing but love and respect toward Alicia Silverstone. She seems the type.
All right. I don't know why you say it. This came out in 2012. You had to have seen this somewhere.
I don't think I did.
You're making me very nervous.
It just, if I mean, obviously, wow, that was weird. She just seems the type that would do that for her children.
All right, no one ever. I could ask 100 people right now. No one would ever have said Alicia Silverstone.
I know. I don't know how that happened.
The hair on the back of my neck is standing up.
She just, if you ever see her in an interview, she just seems the type that would say, I don't want to have to put my kids through all that effort of having
it's
to,
not that.
You have to put it in your mouth, move it around.
No? She got a lot of grief last week. Again, this article written in 2012, after posting a video to her blog in which she is shown pre-chewing her baby's food and offering it to him straight from her mouth.
Yeah. My cousins are getting excited as you say this. Oh, that sounds so good.
The Clueless stars 10-month-old son, Bear.
Clueless the movie.
Yes.
Not just Clueless.
Right.
Like, here's a woman who obviously has no idea about how food works.
Her son's name is Bear.
That alone ain't good.
It doesn't
matter.
Don't
name your kid Bear.
Why? What is it? What do you care?
Doesn't that put a lot of pressure on the kid to be...
Bear Grylls.
All right. But I think that's a nickname for him. I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't think that's a little undue pressure for a child to be named Bear?
Why? He could either be a big grizzly bear or a nice little teddy bear.
I guess.
Could go either way.
All right. I guess.
You think they're going to get teased with that name?
Maybe. It's just a lot to live up to.
What? Being a bear?
Yeah, because bears, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I think king would be harder
to
live
up to. That
would
be a tough one to live up to.
Or genius.
Yes. Yes.
That would be tough.
All names my parents quickly crossed off their list.
So the 10-month-old son, now he's 12 years old, appears to be enjoying being fed like a baby bird.
So somebody would do this. They go, oh, his name is Bear, but he eats like a bird. You know, some smart aleck kid in the lunchroom. Or who might be me?
He literally crawls across the room to attack my mouth if I'm eating, she said.
Wow.
You
don't think that's a little weird? Just a little?
Yeah. Oh, I do. I don't
really
think Bear
weird.
Is that. I mean, I've heard weirder names,
yeah,
to be honest with you.
There is.
It's, I don't.
Sergeant Shriver. Remember him?
No.
His name was Sergeant. He was a politician.
That was his first name? Yeah. Not a nickname?
Nope.
Weird. Most people who commented on the video were quick to voice their disgust and vilify the ill-considered whims of celebrity parents. Science suggests that pre-mastication, or the pre-chewing of adult food for infants, is actually a traditional and healthy feeding method.
For strange people.
Standard practice among our blender-lacking ancestors, pre-chewing is still the norm in many non-Western cultures.
My ancestors had a blender. Oh, wait, my aunt's sister had a blender.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I thought that wrong.
They mean, you know, caveman era.
Yeah.
The act exposes infants to their mother's saliva, giving them an immune system boost that can't get from the sterile pulverized baby food bought in stores.
Mm.
The benefits of pre-chewing have only recently been investigated, but they appear to be parallel to those of breastfeeding.
Mm, I guess.
Really, breastfeeding doesn't seem like, you know, I like to get my beverages out of something other than a breast.
I don't know, the package, I always found the packaging to be refreshing. Whoever came up with it, great job.
And I don't think, like, I know my mom didn't breastfeed me, and I'm
but she did the neighbors. Isn't that odd? Maybe her sense of direction wasn't very strong.
No, it proves who she liked better.
My mom didn't either. She said, can't we just be friends?
Our mom's roughly the same age, you know, a little age difference. But that was a time where, oh, my God, the new Playtex bottle came out. Why would we do that?
I guess.
Because it just.
But that's what. But then, like, when you think about it, that's what they're there for. So you go, if you're balancing.
Maybe
out,
yours are, but mine aren't.
No, they are. That's what they're there for.
I know, but there are other things that, you know, I mean, there were cloth diapers and then Pampers came out and everybody wanted the disposable. And then our landfills were getting bigger. So a lot of people are going back to the cloth ones. I mean,
can I prove my theory?
Yeah.
Let's say you were on a bus And in one chair was a woman breastfeeding her infant, and on another chair was a woman that was chewing food and then taking it out of her mouth and putting it in the baby's mouth. Which would gross out more people?
The chewing of the food.
Yeah. By a lot, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, typically, you wouldn't feed your kid on a bus. I mean, I know you could do breastfeeding.
Yeah.
But typically, you're not feeding them baby food or anything else because you get indigestion if you're bouncing around so much.
Right. No masticating on the bus. I think that's what the sign said.
Pre-mastication or pre-chewing.
Yeah.
Babies start requiring non-milk food in their diets at 6 months of age, but they don't develop the molars they need to chew most foods until 18 to 24 months.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than,
But the relative in my story is about 2.5. So, see, that makes it, that takes a situation that's strange
makes
and
it
multiplies
weirder.
It by a lot. Like, you could see if it was an infant, you go, okay, that's weird, but whatever's working, work it. But in this case, that was a 2.5-year-old.
Yeah.
Right? So that's...
You should have said it was someone else's relative, because now it's like...
Can I change it? Is it too late to change? This other person that I know is relative to this years ago.
Because that is weird. I mean, I could see a 2.5 and 3-year-old where you help them cut their meat.
That perfectly acceptable. All day long.
I still do that for Jimmy Mac sometimes. It's a tough steak.
Tough cut?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but that I can totally see.
Yes. Yes. That's so acceptable. But that's a huge leap, though, between cutting a kid's steak and pre-chewing his food and giving it to him that way.
Well, they're saying that it gears up the production of antibodies, teaching their immune systems how to deal with those same pathogens later if they are exposed to their parents' saliva.
Yeah.
It may also prevent the onset of autoimmune diseases such as asthma that are very common in industrialized society.
I'd rather have asthma.
No, you would not.
I think I would. Then have my mom chew my food for me?
Well, if you were 18 months old, you wouldn't have even known.
She could ask me a question. She could go, here are your options. I'll do it this way, blink once. I'll do it the other way. You get asthma, blink twice.
Wait, you weren't talking by 18 months?
I had already written a dissertation for Yale. I did that.
Breastfeeding was outmoded in the 1950s. See?
Well, right.
There it went
was
away.
Some downtime.
A lot of it.
But I think there were still women who did it. It just wasn't as publicly accepted for a brief period there, and then all of a sudden everybody went back to it. Not everybody. Women did, I guess. Not guys.
Yeah, but not everybody. I mean, there are still people that, you know, and people, if I didn't have a lactation consultant, I wouldn't have been able to figure it out.
Right.
I mean, you in your head, as a mom that has a baby, you're like, oh, they will hand me the baby, I will place the baby up to my breast, and that's how, I mean, no, there's...
I know. We talk about that at my Le Leche meetings.
I just don't even know how to deal with you sometimes. But there has been a renaissance of breastfeeding. Silverstone, Alicia Silverstone may just be ahead of the curve. I still can't get over the fact, okay, there's a celebrity who chewed their food and gave it to their baby.
Yeah.
And the only person you guessed was Alicia. You had to have seen this.
I never heard of it. She just seems the type that would do that. But that was a 1-in-a-million shot.
Yeah, you're scaring
me. That's better than... Do you know my Richard Crenna story?
No, tell me.
When I was doing Major League 2, you know how sometimes like I'll just come up with a name? Like Beanie Feldstein is my flavor of the week right now. I like to say
Beanie
Feldstein. Right. I like to say Beanie Feldstein. That's my go-to celebrity name right now. So for a while, it was Richard Crenna. Like whenever anybody would ask me something, I'd go, oh, really? Is it Richard Crenna? I would just say that all the time. So when I was doing Major League 2, I was in California looping a scene, you know, like redoing the voice track to a scene. And there was a girl there who worked on the movie, this girl, Julia, who had worked on the first one. I got to know her during the first one. She was a production assistant, very nice lady, and she was there. And I saw Julia one day, and she looked so sad. And I said, Julia, what's wrong? Is everything okay? And she said, it will be okay, but I just had a horrible breakup with my boyfriend. And I go, oh, that's awful. She goes, and the worst part is I'm working on a movie right now with his father, so I'm going to see this guy at this, because we're working on this movie, and I'm going to see him. And I go, who? Just as a joke, I go, who is it, Richard Crenna? And she started to cry even more. I go, why are you crying? She goes, yeah, it's Richard Crenna's son. How did you know that? And I just, honestly, it was a one in a million shot. It was. There was no way I knew that. I wouldn't have said that if I knew that.
Well, how does this happen to you?
I don't know.
And when was the last time it happened? When was the Richard Crenna story?
Oh, that was 20 years ago.
So every 20 years,
it manifests itself. But do you know, I've told you the one about my mom in San Francisco, right? Did I ever tell you this?
Uh-uh.
My family's in San Francisco, the four of us, and we're having lunch. And my mom, out of nowhere, asks my brother about this girl that he had gone to school with who got real sick during the year. She missed half of the year. And my mom said, hey, whatever happened to, and she says the girl's name, whatever happened to her? And my brother goes, I don't know. You know, she missed the half year of school. I've heard from some friends she's getting better, but she's not ready to go back to school yet and stuff like that. So about 40 minutes later, we're in a shop in San Francisco. And that girl's there with her mom shopping in the shop in the Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco.
Did she move there?
No. She was vacationing there.
Well, if she could vacation, why couldn't she go to school?
I don't know the answer to that. I will ask Richard Crenna when I see him. I don't know. I have no
that
idea.
That is very weird, though.
But I said to my mom, because my mom didn't even think it was that weird. My mom just sees them and goes, oh, we were just talking about you. And I go, Mom, you don't think that's weird? You picked a name out of a hat, and there she was there in the shop. She goes, no, these things happen. Like, she was so nonplussed by it.
I guess they do happen, but that's not like that, a different state and everything
else.
That's
so far away. That doesn't happen. That, like, if you were home and you would see a guy in the Jewel, oh, I always see that guy in the Jewel, and I haven't seen him, then that's one thing. But to be, you know, 11
clear
states away.
Across the country.
That doesn't happen all that often.
All right, well, I'm going to quiz you and see if I think you're psychic.
I am. I knew you were going to say that. It's so weird. All right, we'll take a break, and then there's more bonus hours. Stick around. Ryan Burrow is going to give you the news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bill, we've managed to gross people out because we were talking about eating.
I saw.
Because they're eating lunch.
I'm sorry. I didn't think about that. Apologies to everybody. Dinner's on Wendy.
Literally on me, because as I was chewing it up, it kind of fell. There was a situation going on. Ryan Burrow was part of it.
I wasn't part of the situation.
No. But the top news story happened right behind you, Wendy.
Okay.
That hardly ever happens.
That's all I want to say. I don't like to blame Bill, even though he ruined a woman's birthday earlier, her 80th birthday. Oh. That only happens once in a lifetime.
Yep.
You're facing out there. My back is to the window, which, of course, looks out onto the Great Lake Michigan behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Burrow comes running in here going, what's going on here? And I turn around and I'm shocked to see a pretty large plume of smoke.
Yeah, like a tan smoke, like a brown
sandy smoke.
Yeah. And they're doing some construction over there. So it seems as though, you know, what is, are they like dumping some sand or some, you know, gravel or something like that? But it just kept coming and coming and coming.
Yep.
And so I'm like, I should probably go check it out. And sure enough, the pylon was on fire out there.
It did have, you know, when I said, oh, it could be a fire, Bill, I could have sworn you said, yeah, that doesn't look like fire smoke. It wasn't dark.
It wasn't your traditional fire smoke, because it usually looks like gray or black. Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, it looks like there's a crane there, so maybe they are just dumping sand very quickly, and then you have like a dust storm.
Right.
That's what it looked like. But then there was a fire truck that pulled up on this side of the overpass, or underpass, I guess.
Yes.
And there was an ambulance, and there was a fireboat, which was really cool that you got some great video of, Ryan.
Yeah, you can check it out on at Newsborough is my Twitter handle. And kind of as we approached it, and we saw that there was a fire, and then as the first boat came, they actually kept the boat traffic going. So, you know, all those people who are visiting us from other cities, we're on those tour boats and going past one of our classic Chicago
fires. Well,
there
was both people.
The architecture tour, yeah.
Yeah, that's good for business, right? how close can we get to the fires? Both boat traffic and car traffic on that bridge right there weren't stopped or slowed in any way, shape, or form. And I thought I'd be a little nervous as I was approaching that, seeing that giant billow of smoke, but everybody was fine.
On the lower level, police had blocked off the right lane, the northbound lane. They just had their squad cars up there with the lights going. But no, traffic kept going. It's just a fire, people. Nothing to see.
Right.
People, keep moving.
It was such a big plume of smoke, though, that if you were driving on Lakeshore Drive over that bridge there, I was expecting some fender benders, because how can you not look at that?
Yeah. Think about all the people who got car washes.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to.
Smoke. Man, I just got this thing washed.
So you think that's who's behind this, is the car wash people? Yeah, oh, maybe.
It's the car wash lobby. They're big.
And then, so I don't know what's happened or if you have any updates on these climate protesters that are supposed to take over the downtown area during rush hour today.
I do not have any updates on that.
Will this pylon fire change all that, Ryan, or is that still in effect? It is?
Separate stories.
Well, this is hundreds of young climate protesters are planning to take over downtown Chicago during the evening rush hour on Monday. I'm only putting this out there because people may want to leave early. They're demanding the city declare a climate emergency, and they're planning to block city streets to do it. I don't have a problem with protesters. You have the right to protest, but when you start affecting people's route home, that's where
you draw the line.
But that's
how you get
there,
game.
Right? I mean, if you did it in the middle of a field when no one was paying attention, no one would care, right?
Why don't you light a pylon on fire and get people's attention
there
that
you
way?
Go. They didn't make their case known because we were all just staring at the fire. So
Judy Pylon, by the way. That's the name. That's what I always name my pylons.
Mm-hmm. The event is supposed to start outside Trump Tower, but demonstrators will make their way to City Hall, where they plan on doing something they call a young-only die-in. Do you want to know what that is?
What happens during that?
Protesters will lie on the steps for 11 minutes as they call on the government to declare a climate emergency. They hope they will be joined by Greta Thunberg, the Swedish 16-year-old environmental activist, quickly becoming one of the biggest voices for climate change. She's been in Chicago for a while.
Yeah, she was here Thursday. I think Friday she was in Iowa, so she could be back.
Now, organizers say they can't confirm whether or not she'll make an appearance.
Uh-huh.
She was in Chicago, Greta was, on Thursday, posed for a picture in front of Buckingham Fountain. The next day she was in Iowa at a rally where it looked like hundreds came out. And organizers of the Chicago event say they're expecting a big crowd. More than 30 Chicago area groups are coming together for the event. With hundreds expected,
yes,
traffic could be troublesome between 5 and 6 p.m. along State and Randolph, and marchers then will make their way from Trump Tower to City Hall.
Can I ask the significance of 11 minutes? Because I'm not sure I know what it is. Is there a reason they're doing this for 11 minutes?
That's a great question, Bill.
I can't even guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think. There's an atomic clock I know that they talk about when we get closer to the end of time.
Right.
I don't know if that has anything to do with, you know, when the clock strikes 12.
Yeah.
Maybe that. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, that's
a doomsday
good
clock. That's what it's called.
Oh, yeah, the doomsday clock. I don't like to look at that one.
I got you a doomsday watch for Christmas last year. I've never seen you wear it once.
It's from Apple.
The pictures are a little foggy for some reason. I don't know why.
I don't know why the 11 minutes is there.
Doesn't say?
No.
All right.
But now I can't stop thinking about it. I want to know if someone's going to the protest. I want to know why it's 11 minutes.
And do they stick to it? Because I've noticed whenever there's a moment of silence for anybody or anything, it's never a moment. It always ends early.
What do you consider a moment?
60 seconds.
60 seconds. That would be a minute.
Yeah.
A minute equals a moment.
Yeah,
no,
don't you think?
A moment and a minute are different.
Are they different?
Yeah. So. A moment is just a couple few seconds.
Is that
maybe
true?
Yeah, a minute is an exact measure of time. A moment.
I thought moment and minute were exactly the same.
I'll be with you in just a moment. That could honestly mean, you know,
it's vague.
10 seconds or 20 minutes, depending on who you're on hold with.
But isn't the root word of moment minute?
No.
Isn't it? It's not?
They're two different things.
Oh.
Didn't you take Latin?
Yes.
my oldest son did.
Yes,
so,
I sure did take Latin. E pluribus unum.
Pluribus.
Yep.
You guys are the best.
No, what? Mr. and Misinformation, that's who we are.
Wow, I'm shocked that I have been living a lie. Because I thought moment and minute were the same. I thought a moment was 60 seconds.
No, but I just really...
That's why, so
a
every,
very brief period of time, that's what a moment is.
It's not a minute? Wow. That's crazy.
You know, a lot of these climate protests have 11-minute... 11 moment, but 11 minutes.
So the movie Moment by Moment with John Travolta and Lily Tomlin, which only had 2 good minutes in the whole movie, that was that was a lie too.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, a moment. That's no one ever said a moment was a minute.
I have believed that forever. I don't know. I have been living a lie. That's so unfortunate.
If that's the only time someone has lied.
I wonder what else I'm wrong about.
Okay, so the 11-minute diet is to highlight the number of years left to reduce carbon emissions.
Okay.
In line with the target set up by the UN panel on climate change. So we've got 11 years, people.
Got to tell you, I've never been much of a protester, but I like this one where I could lay down for 11 minutes and take a nap.
Sure.
Who's
going to argue with that?
I don't
that's
think
a good,
it's comfortable, though. I mean, they're literally laying on the steps
on
of
the
City
sidewalk?
Hall.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, but if you know, it's a little chilly, so you probably have a hoodie or something that you could roll up and use as a pillow.
If Wendy brought a beach chair, Ryan, what would the reaction be with the other protesters? They would not like that.
I can't imagine lying down on LaSalle because that sidewalk, I've walked that sidewalk before.
It's grimy.
Gum. There's probably a lot of fun stuff down there.
Yeah. Bring a beach towel or something, Wendy. You're
going
to thank
me
later.
Oh, I'm not going.
You're not
going to
go?
No, but I'm only putting it out there because in case people, this is
Well, you're not
going
to be able to get through with your traffic, so you might as well, if you can't beat them, join them, right? Get out of your car.
Between 5 and 6 p.m.
You're going to miss Greta Thunberg. Is she doing News or Ruse? Is she in town for News or Ruse?
I
bet she'd be great at it.
I
love her. She's so, it's amazing what, I mean, she's a kid and she's so outspoken. She's great.
And I know she got a little ornery and upset about things, but that's how much it, we
that's
need more
so
people
upsetting.
Getting upset about things. I mean, passion, we're missing passion in this world now. That's what we are.
You're right. She's a throwback to the days of passion.
I agree.
Yep.
Fire's out, by the way.
Yeah, I'm monitoring it very closely, Ryan. I'm making sure because I don't want it to sneak up on us like it did last time. All the pylons seem to be behaving themselves now, thankfully.
Somebody thinks we're lying about the Alicia Silverstone thing. I mean,
no, that was no parlor trick.
Bill had talked about a relative of a friend of his who would chew up food and give it to a baby.
Well,
a
2.5-year-old.
Oh, okay. That's.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that face you're making is perfect.
That was the Saturday Night Live episode, wasn't it? Was,
yeah,
wasn't there a
family
sketch
did
about that
one.
Oh,
yeah. It's disgusting.
Right.
Yeah.
But the 2.5-year-old is a little unusual because the kid has teeth by then.
Yeah.
When I looked this up to see if it was a thing, somebody mentioned that Alicia Silverstone or that a specific, I said, oh, there's somebody in the world of Hollywood who did this many years ago, and he just goofily said Alicia Silverstone, and I'm like, yes, and like for a few minutes you kept going, you're lying to me.
I thought
right?
you were messing with me.
No, he just said it. So somebody thinks that we planned that. Can I just tell you we planned nothing?
Maybe you saw the story and it's subliminally hit in your
it's
mind.
It's possible.
So that was the first name that came.
Yeah, I guess it's possible. I don't know, but
what
I
doing these days.
My tactic was, it seems like something she would do if you had ever seen her on a show. That was her personality I'd do anything for my kids, and that's a good thing, but I do draw the line at pre-chewing food.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I would not do for my kid, or have my kid do for me.
What about pre-chewing gum?
Oh, that we do all the time. That's commonplace.
You get all the flavor out, and then you give it to someone else. Right?
Dad, is there any Big Red in there? Hold on. Here's some Big Red. There you go.
That was the big thing, you know, when you first started making out with somebody, that you'd flip-flop gum like that.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, that'd be like, well, what's the difference at that
That's
point?
Were you making out with Joe Bazooka?
I was making out with Bazooka Joe. Maybe it was just me that did that then.
Did he have... I'm trying to remember.
He was funny.
Yeah, Bazooka Joe is a very funny man.
He wasn't a man when I was with him. That's terrible.
Did he have one of the kids in Bazooka Joe had a patch on their eye? Was it Bazooka Joe or one of his friends? Because I was always wondering what happened to him. I was curious as to what happened.
Explanation.
I wanted
for the
some
patch.
Backstory because they never discussed what happened. And I go, I'm just curious.
Bazooka Joe had a patch.
He did. But it was never addressed. Why? I'm guessing some bubble blowing accident. That's my guess. Isn't it weird though? I mean, honestly, it should have at some point. They should have been some backstory. Where's Larry's number over at WGN TV? That's a good backstory for him.
It's really not. According
Jasmine,
to the Straight
call
Dope.
Call Larry over at Channel 9 and tell him I got a backstory idea.
Do you remember the Straight Dope that was that in the Reader?
Yeah, I think so.
I can't remember his name. Cecil Adams. Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah.
According
he should
to
marry
that,
Beanie Feldstein. Beanie and Cecil. Is Larry on the line yet?
Larry will never take our call again.
Not yet? All right.
There was a theory bandied about the playgrounds that Bazooka Joe was missing his peeper after it popped out of Joe's...
I hope that means eye. Please, Wendy, tell me that means his eye. Please
Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Of
Thank
course it
God.
Does.
Thank God.
A moment doesn't mean a minute, and a peeper means an eye.
Because if a kid is missing some other body part and he's wearing an eye patch, that is a poorly used... That's not gonna, sorry, Bazooka Joe, but that's not going to help you at all.
He's missing his peeper because it popped out of Joe's skull while he was chewing the leathery sweet bazooka. Officials insist Joe has 20/20 vision.
No, not with one eye, you can't.
He only wears the eye patch to give himself a distinctive look.
Oh.
That's what they're saying.
A kid would do that? What kind of kid would think that far?
A cool kid.
I guess you'd have
that's
to be.
Right.
Another, yeah, that's the theory I have.
What was the shirt? Remember there was a shirt company, was it Hathaway Shirts, where all their spokespeople
yes.
had a eye patch, every one of them?
It got people talking about it, although I don't remember if it was Hathaway.
I always envisioned, I think it was Hathaway, I could be wrong. There was that, and then there was commercials for Benson and Hedges where everybody had a black eye.
That was Tarrington, I thought.
Was it Tarrington? So their thing was
rather
fight than
switch.
And I always imagined the cigarette people and the shirt people were always pounding on each other because one was missing an eye, the other had a black eye. What was going on with people back then?
The Benson and Hedges commercial, if I remember correctly, they were longer cigarettes, so you'd always see the end bent like it was broken.
Oh, yeah.
That was the Benson and Hedges because they were a long cigarette, the
right.
first ones. But the Tarrington was I'd rather
fight than switch.
And you'd have like a guy and his wife. And
they both had black eyes.
Yeah, and then you're thinking, what kind of a man would hit a woman?
Who were they appealing to?
And who is making them switch?
Right. If you
hey,
have a cigarette
you,
you're happy with.
Let's do this.
Keep smoking that cigarette. Don't be punching people.
Right?
It's just a cigarette. Come on, what's wrong with you?
Bill,
violent
please,
times.
Please don't take this the wrong way.
But?
There's not even really a but. You are a kind of a casual dresser, right?
Yes.
So it shocks me that whenever these brand name upper class dressy clothes come up, you remember, it must just be that you remember the commercials and the advertising. Because how the hell did you know that a Hathaway man's shirt...
Oh, was it Hathaway?
...had a pirate patch?
I know because as a kid, I used to envision it was a company run by Miss Jane Hathaway from Beverly Hillbillies. Chief!
So breaking news, by the way, they're respraying the pylon, it looks like, back
there. Oh.
Maybe it flared back up again.
No, that's pretty
thanks
cool.
Thanks for that, Ryan. Uh-huh. I didn't notice that.
Ryan Burrow, WGN News.
So the whole Hathaway
our next
patch.
Next media group.
The man in the Hathaway shirt had a patch, and he's just standing there with a shirt.
Right.
Most of them white, to be honest with you, the shirts.
They
weren't a lot of different colors.
Right.
It was just a businessman's shirt with
a tie.
I think
they had other colors, but they were trying to sell it to the everyman. You know how the everyman, who always has a patch on one eye, is always just looking for a comfortable, well-priced business shirt? So I think white was just so neutral. You know?
Not a lot of people wore varying colors of
right.
shirts
right.
under a suit.
Yeah. The world wasn't as open to that idea back then. They thought a business guy should wear a white suit and an eye patch. That's how a businessman should look.
Well, do you know how the eye patch started for that?
No.
Here's a little... I can give Larry Potash a run for his money because I got the backstory of the Hathaway shirt.
I'm going to sell this idea to him, Wendy, and make a lot of money off of it. So please
don't
get in the
way.
He
buys ideas?
No.
I don't
is that how this works?
I don't
no.
think he tells
okay.
people he does. Right. But when he hears this idea,
okay.
he'll
All
pull
right.
out his wallet, I bet.
A guy named David Ogilvy was on his way to a photo shoot for his new shirt maker client.
From Ogilvy Mather? That's a big ad agency. Did you know that?
No.
It is. So probably him.
So the beaver, Jerry Mather.
Jerry Mather and Ogilvy own it together. Ogilvy does most of the work because beavers always get into hijinks because he's only 7 years old. So it's up to Ogilvy to do the heavy lifting.
Golly.
All right. So David Ogilvy was on his way to a photo shoot for his new shirt maker client. He stopped off at a New York drugstore to buy a few 50-cent black eye patches and unwittingly blazed the trail for a new style of advertising. It was 1951.
Yeah.
Ogilvy's client was C.F. Hathaway, a small shirt maker from Maine.
Yeah.
The company, having never advertised before, was planning to spend $30,000 to compete with much better known brands. This is a lot of money in 1951.
$30,000? Yes, it was.
Ellerton Jett, Hathaway's president, admitted Ogilvy would never get rich handling his account, but he promised he would never fire the agency or change any copy.
Yeah.
Ogilvy knew he must do something unorthodox. Although he had toyed with the idea of using an eye patch as part of the campaign, it wasn't really the first thing in his mind. So handing over the eye patches to the photographer, Ogilvy told him, just shoot a couple of these to humor me, and then I'll go away and you can do the serious job.
Yeah.
Later, having seen the results, Ogilvy admitted, we knew we had had something.
Isn't that crazy? Because when you think about it, you go, that's not going to sell shirts. It's a guy who's had some sort of an incident with his eye. That's not relatable. But it stood out so much.
Without the eye patch, the Hathaway campaign would have been a simple example of shirt advertising with a well-dressed man shot against an opulent background. With the eye patch, the ads had what Ogilvy called story appeal.
Oh.
Arousing reader curiosity. How, they wondered, had the man lost his eye?
They're right.
They are. The ad's impact was immediate. Its first insertion in the New Yorker cost $3,100. Within a week, every Hathaway shirt in the city was sold.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
So impressive.
How did eye patch sales do?
Through the roof. They couldn't keep them in stock.
Ogilvy claimed to have been bemused by it all. He said of the eye patch, for some reason I've never known, it made Hathaway instantly famous. Perhaps more to the point, it made me instantly famous.
And then Sansibelt's going, hey, get me a guy in an iron lung, because this is obviously the way to sell our product.
We How would you see the guy if he's in an iron lung?
We got to top this Hathaway business right now. Get me a guy with, there's a belt company going, do you have any guys with their heads cut off? Because I think that's the best way to sell our belts.
Thank God you're not in advertising.
That's where I wanted to be. That was my goal.
But as for, you really?
Yeah, I took a bunch of advertising classes.
You are pretty good at it.
I wanted to be in advertising.
Not on the bonus hour, you're not.
No,
but
not in other facets. Yeah.
But I don't know really why Bazooka Joe has a patch. It just, allegedly, according to the Bazooka people.
Was he the Hathaway model originally? Did he do their cartoon modeling?
Maybe. But Bazooka
but
people.
Don't you, when you see that, don't you just go, how is this going unnoticed? This kid, somehow, he's had some sort of an incident where his eye is gone, and it's never addressed in any of the comics ever. Nobody even says anything about it. No, none of Bazooka Joe's friends even care enough to ask him what happened.
I think it's just, you know, you don't want to
just accept,
be
you don't
want to
upset him. All right.
Yeah, I don't know why he has a black eye patch, but it just gives him a distinctive.
Yeah.
Appearance.
Yep.
I think we should bring it back.
Well,
tomorrow.
Bazooka Joe debuted a new look a few years ago. They updated Bazooka Joe, and he's much more current. Like, Archie, you know, got a little more modern looking.
Did they update the gum, or is it still?
No, it's still Chuck.
Okay.
I love it, though. But
do you?
It takes a few good crunches to get into that thing, doesn't it, though?
Yeah, but once you know, can get in there and get it chewing and at a perfect consistency, it lasts a good 4 minutes.
That's more than most gum.
Yeah.
It's always, they always have a place, like if you go to a bigger grocery store that has a kosher section, Bazooka Joe bubblegum is always featured prominently there, and I don't know why.
It's kosher?
Apparently.
It must be.
Maybe there's a version of it that is. Maybe they do two versions of it, you know? But it's always very prominent wherever kosher foods
Joe.
Are. Kosher Joe.
And Bazooka Joe. But so they updated
Instead of an eye patch, he wears a yarmulke over his eye.
I don't find that amusing. They updated his, he looks more modern, but he still has the eye patch on.
Oh, yeah, you don't change that.
So they kept it.
All right, that's good news.
Yeah, there's no reason why he has a patch. I don't really know.
It doesn't say. That should definitely be listed somewhere.
Well, that's our goal for tomorrow. We'll try find out
what happened to Bazooka Joe's eye. All right. Ryan, thank you so much for hanging out. I know it's against your best interest, but you pulled through, so we appreciate it. We'll be back to say goodbye next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Good night until we meet again.
Adios. Au revoir. Auf Wiedersehen. Till then.
That's fantastic, Wendy.
I kind of forgot.
All those languages.
Merci beaucoup.
You're welcome, beaucoup. I don't know why Rosetta Stone isn't sponsoring the bonus hour. They're making a huge mistake.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Huge mistake. All right, Larry Potash called Jazz? No, nothing yet? All right, I'll wait by the phones. I'm sure by tomorrow we'll have sold an idea. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Greatly appreciated. We will do this again tomorrow. Bye, Wendy.
See you later, Bill. Au revoir.
Yep.
Au revoir.
Yep.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Yes.
Good night.
Serving the great Midwest from Chicago, this is WGN at AM 720 on your radio and on smart devices anywhere just by saying play WGN Radio on TuneIn.
WGN Chicago.
A Nexstar Media Group station.